Recorded live.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Pastor Eli James here along with Pastor William Fink. We have another installment of Christogenos. We're going to be continuing our series on Isaiah. And this is May 14th, 2010. Today's show is going to begin with a bunch of announcements. First of all, I just got back from West Virginia, where Skip Baker and I, myself and a couple other people were shooting three videos. These three videos are one-hour videos dealing with the migrations of the true Israelites, defining the Caucasian people as the Israelites of the Bible. The second video is an explanation of why the Jewish people are not Israelites or Hebrews or Shemites or Adamites. And the third video is going to be about Mystery Babylon, explaining the eight beasts of the book of Revelation. And so we did all the shooting in West Virginia the last 3 days, and now it's up to Skip Baker to do it all, do all the post-production work, and get the videos done with all the graphics, the images, the Bible quotes, et cetera, flashed on the screen. So we'll see, and I could say this right away, that the video quality and the sound quality are just absolutely fantastic. And if Skip can add graphics and shots of the Talmud and biblical quotations, et cetera, this is going to be a really great video series. Secondly, this next Friday at 4 o'clock Central Time, no, I'm not knocking people offline. It's talk show, or some lurker in the background is knocking people offline. And it's common for us, right? It's common for these Christian identity talk shows to have all kinds of technical problems. I hear that the other shows don't have these kind of problems, so I wonder what's going on. In any case, next Friday at 4 p.m. Central, from 4 to 6 p.m., will be the first of a 13-part series every Friday for 13 weeks on the 13 tribes of Israel. The videos will be on YouTube as soon as they're ready. And this is Argusog Radio. I'm going to post the link again, Control-V. And it's www.argusogradio. It's argusogradio.org. And that has several English language broadcasts. The radio station is actually in the Netherlands, but they do several English language broadcasts. And on Fridays at 4 p.m. Central Time, it's the Waterman Files, from 4 to 6 p.m. every Friday. So I'm going to be his guest for the next 13 weeks, talking about the 12 tribes of Israel and their European nation state counterparts. Okay, so that should be a really good series. Now, also, tomorrow I'm not going to be around because we have another Illinois United meeting. And what we're doing is we're getting various white nationalist groups together to put a unification movement together to instruct white people that the international Jew is trying to destroy our race, and we're going to be planning a worldwide anti-bankster demonstration either sometime later this year, or we're going to talk about picking the theme and the date as to when this worldwide demonstration is going to take place. It's going to be white pride worldwide. And we already have people in South Africa and in Sweden signed on to join us. And I'm sure once we get this ball rolling, we should have demonstrations in every single white nation on the face of the earth. So I'm very much looking forward to that. So in addition, the next newsletter I put on will be on my website, www.anglo-saxonisrael.com. I've just about finished my rebuttal to Martin Lightfoot's presentation, literary presentation, claiming that the Jews are part of the tribe of Judah, and he has a seriously flawed haplotypes article trying to claim that the Jews are the tribe of Judah. That article is finished and ready to be published, and I will be publishing that in the next week or so. Also, Bill, now turning to you, Bill, you also just recently issued a rebuttal to that article too, didn't you?
Well, yes, I did. I only summarized the position that I took with the program I did with Clifton and officiated it because it's going to be printed in a New Ensign.
Okay.
You know, PDF magazine, electronic magazine, and I wanted to clean it up for that purpose. But I also wanted to, you know, not everybody, even though close to 400 people, I thought, a lot of people have downloaded that program from the front page of Christogenia.
Right.
In fact, I'm going to find out. Now, I mean, I know it probably has a couple of hundred TalkShoe downloads, as all our programs do.
Yes.
It has 380 downloads from my front page.
Great. Fantastic.
Because not everybody in British Israel is going to go to my website
mm-hmm.
and download the program, I thought I'd just summarize my position so that I know that certain parties will make sure that everybody in the British Israel World Federation gets the opportunity to read it.
Right.
And to see how stupid they are.
Well,
that's
as the
bottom
they should
line.
Read it, yeah. Well, I took a look at it today, and it was very straightforward. Maybe you could quickly summarize it for the listeners, since we're talking about it here. You know,
the DNA proves that the Jews are related to the Arabs.
Right.
And that's true of both Sephardic and Ashkenazi Jews.
Right.
And that the DNA of the Saxons is distinct. I mean, it's broken into two haplotypes, I and R.
Right.
But it's distinct from any Jewish or Arab DNA.
Right, which is primarily type J and various other types.
Right,
yeah.
And we can't possibly be related to them. The
right.
British Israel World Federation, in order to maintain the false pretense that the Jews are Judah, they have embraced, that they have run into the arms of the evolutionists.
That's right.
They've embraced evolution.
That's right. Yeah, because they claim, Martin Lightfoot claims in his article, that a mutation of the Israelite gene or the Judah gene has resulted in today's modern Jews.
DNA does not mutate into apparently normal people.
Right.
If your DNA mutates,
yes.
You're going to have three legs, two eyes, four eyes,
yes.
One arm. Yeah, you know, you're going to be a genetic misfit.
Right.
You're probably
type.
Not
right.
going to live to term.
Yes, yes. And even in nature, we find that mutant animals, mutant offspring, are often killed, more often killed by their parents because they look so strange that their parents can't deal with them.
Well, science has not one shred of evidence that any genes of any species have ever mutated into another normal species.
That's right.
There is not one shred of evidence,
right.
Period.
All speculation.
And anybody that embraces that is embracing the godless religion of the Jews.
Yeah. So, in other words, British Israel has had to embrace the theory of evolution, and they must. But without talking about it, they must have to embrace Zionism and what the Zionists, you know, and the international bankers have done to the world and are currently doing to the Palestinian people. But, of course, the British Israel group never discusses those matters. They put those on a back burner while they constantly try to make Israelites out of the Jews. Yeah, it's an incredible story. So I'll be publishing in this newsletter both your rebuttal and my rebuttal of the Lightfoot article, and also an article by Mike Green talking about the true meanings of the words Jew and Gentile in the scriptures, a very excellent summary of those two words and how they are falsely defined in the King James and other modern Bibles. So I'm looking forward to doing that issue, and that'll be coming up this week. So you have other announcements for us today, Bill?
Yes, I have in front of me the first hard copy version of the Christogenia New Testament.
Okay, very good.
Now, the cover art is off-center just a little bit. I don't know if I'm going to fix that or not. I want this available. I've been, you know, it's been a year late. It should have been available over a year ago.
Okay.
And I'm going to make it available this week. And the announcement will be on my mailing list
mm-hmm.
and on my website on Christogenia.org.
Okay.
That's first.
Okay, is that available for sale off your website?
Well, it will be. It's not available right now, but it will be within a week. If it's not directly from my site, it will be from lulu.com.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay, and it'll be priced at somewhere between $25 and $28. I'm not 100% positive yet.
Okay.
But for a copy, which ain't bad for a hardcover.
Now, does this edition include all the footnotes or no?
Oh, no. It would be 1,000 pages.
Okay.
This is the translation alone, and there's two appendices, and the two appendices, basically, one of them is a proof of the devil and Satan.
Okay.
In the New Testament. And the other one is just has a lot of my reasoning for my use of the Greek terms for God and Christ.
Okay, well, I see you're getting orders off the screen right now. So best of luck to you so you're offering this on lulu.com. Will this be available in downloadable CD
form as well? My New Testament, the PDFs are all on my website. If you can't afford to pay for it, everything I've ever written is free for download.
Okay.
Yeah, except my notes for Paul and Luke, which I also hope to have in books this year. And,
mm-hmm.
and my historical essays and a few other things will be in book form this year.
Yes. Okay.
Now,
very good.
Rick Tarr wants it for free. Of course, he thinks that people manufacture books at no cost at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm sorry, it just doesn't happen. People have to eat.
Yeah, right.
now, he can always download it and read it off his screen or print
sure.
it.
Yeah.
And it's 12 cents a page. I know what the ink costs for me to print stuff out of my inkjet. It's ridiculous.
Right.
The next announcement is christogenia.net.
Okay.
Well, we have a server up and running. It's going to be a 24/7 chat server first.
Okay.
And second, it has all the ability we need to do these programs on that server.
So
in the same controlled, rational sort of fashion.
Uh-huh.
And an ability to being a 24/7 chat room type atmosphere.
Okay.
And anybody here is invited to go to christogenia.net, go look at the policies page so there aren't any surprises. I'm not worried about anybody in this room, but I know that we're going to have our trolls and
sure.
our agitators, and I'm not going to suffer any trolls or any agitators.
Right.
It's going to be no BS chat, and
right.
that's the way it is.
Is it going to be a similar format like TalkShoe has with a chat room screen? And
Well, it's almost the exact same format.
Okay.
Except that no telephone is necessary. It's all VoIP. And to participate in the talk, you'll really need a headset with microphone attached to your computer.
Okay. Will it be utilizing Skype?
No, but it's a lot like Skype. It doesn't need anything except you go to christogenia.net, go to the Connect page, read the instructions. It'll send you to a website to download a small free program
uh-huh.
that's a client. Once you download the client, the appropriate client, which for most people would be the Windows 32-bit client, then install it on your computer, and it's a pretty well-behaved program. And you'll be able to, when the Connect screen comes up, just type in christogenia.net and type in your handle, and you'll be able to connect to the server.
Yeah, very good. So, in other words, this will be like a radio show. You could broadcast 24 hours a day.
Well, anybody will have the capability to record at any time. And the channel administrator, the server administrator, which is only me right now, but we'll have to turn on each individual client's or user's ability to talk when it's appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
But the chat room is open and free to type to anybody that comes.
Yes. Okay. So, in other words, now will people have a password so that
Well, I do not have the server password protected. There are no accounts.
Oh.
Your username is up for grabs. However, I have a warning in my policy on the website that if anybody is using a username that belongs to one of the regular listeners, I'm
yes.
going to ask them and give them the opportunity to give it up.
Yeah.
If they don't give it up, they're just going to be banned. I mean,
okay.
I'm not going to let the community get stepped on in any way.
Right. Okay. Very good. So, in other words, this will be a potential alternative to TalkShoe should we need it. Okay. And then your plan is to actually start using this format, radio format, in the near future, right?
Well, my plan is, yes, to move my open forum call to this format and my Euro call to this format in June.
Okay.
So my Monday show and my bi-monthly Thursday program will be moved here in June.
Mm-hmm.
And,
okay.
And off of TalkShoe. And if that works out, you'll get, you know, we'll discuss mm-hmm. things, and you'll have the opportunity to do whatever you want to do. I'm not going to twist your arm about the Friday and Saturday programs.
Right.
If you want to move them, that's your prerogative.
Yeah. Well, it'd be nice to do both simultaneously. You know,
well, that probably won't be possible.
That won't be possible? Okay.
Right.
All right, well,
and the Tuesday Crystal Leo show, that's not really my program. That's up to the hosts that operate that show.
Right.
Of course, they're more than welcome to operate them on ChrisDeGhenia.net.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that once people use ChrisDeGhenia.net and become
mm-hmm.
accustomed to it and find that they're not thrown out 10, 12 times a program.
Right.
And they don't have the interference and it stays pretty much troll-free.
Right.
And troublemaker-free. And that's literally and figuratively.
Right.
Then I think that it'll be a much more enjoyable community experience, and they may not want to come back here. I'm sorry.
Well, yeah. Let's see how it works in June. If it works really well, yeah, we can switch to that format. And then as you mentioned before the show, we could also upload shows from ChrisDeGhenia.net onto TalkShoe so people can still access the shows there as well.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, very good. Outstanding. We're ahead of the game. And folks, Christian identity is here to stay.
Right, and it's important to me that we should be in control of our own atmosphere and
right.
of our own future. I mean,
right.
It's you had your blog talk experience, and we don't need a repeat of that.
Right.
And I was pestered by, I'm going to call him a troll. He didn't start out to be a troll,
mm-hmm.
but he sure as hell ended up being a troll. I was pestered by TalkShoe to remove a program because of the complaint of one individual who believes that he could say anything he wants about others, but when somebody says something about him, he's going to go cry to the
right.
authorities, more or less.
Well, how did TalkShoe react? I mean, did they pester you?
Well, they just simply asked me to remove the program and gave me not much choice. And that, yet, you know, the program is on ChrisDeGhenia.org.
Okay.
And nobody's going to make me remove it from there.
Okay, you're
you
talking about one show. You're not talking
right. But the
right.
fact that happened is,
right.
is that happened indiscriminately on the word of one lowlife, I'm going to call him, because that's
right.
what he is. That's not I can't stand for that.
Yeah, so it's like one Jew complains and the whole show has to be canceled. Yeah.
Well, right, and that's not going to happen to me. And I have that program, and it's on ChrisDeGhenia.org, so the person really didn't hurt me.
Right.
But he's just being a little sissy whiner and
right, right. Okay.
He lasts about 3 minutes in prison.
One more question on this. Did all the old shows, can those all be uploaded and run 24 hours a day so people can just tune in and listen at any time?
Well, every one of the programs I've done is on my website.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, if it's kept up to date, all the programs you've done that we've done together are on your website.
Yeah, right.
I mean, anybody could go to ChrisDeGhenia and now I have all of the programs I've been involved in, I have at ChrisDeGhenia, not only on the internet radio page, where there's a page for each of one of the separate, you know, the Yahweh's Covenant People program, the ChrisDeGhenia's program, but I also have on the right-hand column an internet radio archives by topic.
Yeah. Okay.
And if they want to listen to the John or the Isaiah or the Colossians, they just go, the 2009 programs cannot be listened to on the site, because I don't have the time yet to resample them. But all the 2010 programs and some of the 09 programs can be listened to right on the site.
Right, right. I guess what I was asking was, is it going to be more like a radio station where it's always broadcasting a show, or is it you go to the site and click on a show to listen to?
Well, no, it's not going to be like that. You'll have to go to ChrisDeGhenia.org to hear archives.
Okay.
And I might make, you know, it's a lot of work, but eventually I might make those same archives available at ChrisDeGhenia.net.
Yeah. Okay.
However, it's going to be more of a forum atmosphere where there might be a live program on at any given time, you know, scheduled. However, there will, as long as there's somebody there, you'll always be able to chat with somebody or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, people will feel out their own schedules and see when an opportune time to go there is, and when there is no opportune time.
Right, right.
Yeah, okay. You know, I mean, there might be people there 24/7. There are people that live on their computers.
Right.
I'm one of them.
Yeah, right.
I don't know. I'm not going to have 24/7 to pay attention to this chat room, but it's always going to be there.
That's why there's sandwich crumbs and pickle juice all over your typewriter, right?
Well,
keyboard.
Right.
Okay. All right. That's excellent news. Fantastic. So your book's available from Lulu.com.
Well, it will be this week. The book will be available this week.
And crystalgania.net is just about ready to go, be operative, and that's internet radio, Christian identity style. Anything else? Any more good news?
Well, that's enough for one week. Done.
Okay, man, we need good news, you know, because the world's falling apart before our very eyes. And one thing I heard was that in California, the Aztlan movement, you know, the Chicano racist movement that hates whites, they're planning a major demonstration sometime this fall, and their rhetoric is getting more and more radical and anti-white and violent all the time. And today I just saw a trailer for a new movie also getting ready to come out this fall. Some Latino actor is putting out a movie called Machete. And the trailer for this Machete, the movie is about Latinos hacking white people with their machetes. That's what the movie's about, right? And the trailer is aimed at the state of Arizona. Okay, in the trailer, the star of the movie aims a gun and says, "This is you, Arizona." Bang. That's the trailer, folks. And so this the Jews in Hollywood are gearing up the anti-white rhetoric, and they're setting up a race war, folks, so you better be ready. It's coming. Okay, so that quick announcement about the signs of the times. We better start getting ready to defend ourselves, because the Jews are agitating the non-whites against us. No doubt about it.
Yeah. Well, it's the I don't know how I want to phrase this. It's the normal, the average sentiment among Mexicans.
Yes,
that they are here to get what they can and to take what they consider to be their land back.
Right. Right.
That's their normal sense. I've known 1,000 Mexicans, and every one of them has felt the same way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's why they are here.
Right. We intruded on their land, and they want it back.
Nothing for them in Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
And they see, you know, they make the mistake, and the Jews have taught this in schools.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the average teaching in the educational systems today.
Yeah.
That land makes a person wealthy.
Yeah.
That land enriches a race.
Yeah.
But look at the Negro in Africa.
Right. The Latinos. Thank you, Bruce. Yes. And Richter has put on incogman.wordpress.com, there is a link to the, it's called Jew Hollywood Milks Chicano White Hate. So, folks, they're gearing it up, you know, the anti-white rhetoric, the anti-white racism. Well, apparently it's not racism, because only whites can be racist, but our people better start waking up fast, you know, because what's happening in South Africa with Tara Blanche getting hacked to pieces and our people getting raped and murdered out in the open in South Africa, it's going to start happening here. Right now it's covered up. It's happening here too, but the media is not talking about it.
There's Negro on white crime constantly, and they just won't. And there was one case a couple of weeks ago. I read about it, I think, on newscottage.blogspot.com, I think. This Negro killed this white woman and admitted it. He killed her because she was white.
Mm-hmm.
And they won't file hate crime charges.
Right.
That they just won't file hate. Yeah, you know, I spent 12 years in prison on a civil rights charge.
Mm-hmm.
They won't file a civil rights charge against you, no matter who you are, if you're not white.
That's right.
I have never seen one civil rights charge filed against a non-white.
Exactly. Exactly. That's called discrimination.
Yes, it is.
Isn't it?
Absolutely.
That's discrimination, folks. It's okay to discriminate against whites. That's multiculturalism. We're all equal, but whites must be exterminated. And I'll figure that logic out. Okay? All right. So, yeah, this is what's happening in the world, folks. So be prepared. And I just got bumped off the screen, so I'm waiting for it to come back up. So why don't you go into – you also mentioned that you had a couple of – you want to do a kind of a recap
I thought it was necessary to elucidate these coming chapters.
Mm-hmm.
That okay. Yeah, you know, in the previous chapters of Isaiah, the ones we recently covered, Isaiah 22 through from Isaiah chapter 22 is an oracle against the people in Jerusalem. 23 through 25 is an oracle against the Israelites of Tyre.
Okay.
26 and 27 is another oracle against Judah. 28 is an oracle against Ephraim. 29 is another oracle against Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
Chapters 30 and 31 contain warnings to the children of Israel, admonishing them not to seek help from Egypt.
Right.
And in other words, Yahweh is telling these people, the Assyrians are coming to punish you and take you away.
Right.
And you are not to resist. And that's chapters 30 and 31 that we covered last week. But it's also the theme of chapter 8 in Isaiah.
Okay, hold on. It's not that they shouldn't resist, but they shouldn't make a league with Egypt. Wasn't that the
message? Well, basically, they're told, don't conspire and don't fear the fear of the Assyrian, that you're going to be taken away, and this is for your own good. That's the basic message here.
Yes, okay.
In other words, there's no avoid. When Yahweh decrees that the nation is to be punished, there's no avoiding it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, right.
And that's a message that we should have in mind today.
Right, because while the Bible says we can't make war against the beast is too powerful.
Well, so, right, but our people, those who are disobedient, are going to be punished.
That's right.
And what the Christian should seek is he should seek righteousness and the will of Yahweh and the word of Yahweh so that prayerfully he individually does not suffer.
Right. And it's quite amazing that the Judeo-Christians in this world today are teaching antinomianism, which is, in fact, you know, it's disobedience is what it really is.
And it's the ticket to destruction.
Right. And they think, you know, I'm saved, you're saved, we're all saved because we believe in Jesus, and the world is collapsing around their ears, and they're still preaching, we're saved, there's nothing to worry about, when they're going to be destroyed by their own stupidity. That's what's going to happen. And, you know, these people must have led sheltered lives in order to believe this nonsense. But that's what they're doing. That's what they're doing. And they're going to find out the hard way that when the fire comes, they're going to be tried very hard. They're going to get scorched. Yeah.
Okay. Well, throughout these chapters, the focus of Isaiah's prophecies also clearly shift between the short range and the long range. And
mm-hmm.
we discussed that.
Yes.
And usually Isaiah is speaking to those of his immediate time. But then in many places, he qualifies his oracles with the statement, in that day.
Right.
All right.
Right.
However, in Isaiah chapter 32, the overall outlook seems to change focus more on the future,
mm-hmm.
beyond the coming deportation.
Right.
The king that shall reign in righteousness in Isaiah 32
yes.
can only mean Christ.
That's right.
And the princes that shall rule in judgment,
mm-hmm.
his chosen disciples, his
right.
chosen followers.
Yes, yes.
Several times we see a theme concerning liberalism in Isaiah 32.
Mm-hmm.
In Isaiah 32, 5-8, we read that the vile shall no longer be called liberal.
Yes.
The vile shall speak villainy. The liberal devises liberal things.
Mm-hmm.
Then immediately in Isaiah 32, women are singled out as careless.
Mm-hmm.
And the children of Israel are being described as impoverished.
Right.
Verse 13 in 32 says, upon the land of my people shall come up briars and thorns. They are the other races.
Right.
This is speaking about today.
That's right.
I think this is perfectly representative of all that has gone on these past 200 years.
Mm-hmm.
Liberalism is the disease of Christendom.
That's right.
Because many sins are committed in its shadow, and because it's the first step down a slippery slope into Jewish communism.
That's right.
Absolutely. Which is Talmudic tyranny.
Mm-hmm.
Satan
mm-hmm.
uses liberalism
yes.
to separate us from our wealth in the name of so-called good. And once he gets his hand on our purses, the government becomes our god. And what a tyrannical god it is.
Right, right.
And it's by the way of, and women are singled out in Isaiah 32, because it's by the way of woman's suffrage and the innate emotional empathy found in women voters.
Yes.
That liberalism has advanced its agenda in Christendom so easily.
Yes.
And this is not an attack on women, but this is a clear message in Isaiah 32.
Right.
And it's just a rational observation of history.
Yes.
It's no secret that women in general are far more likely to vote for liberal and socialist candidates.
Yeah, because because the argument is always emotional, appeals to, look at all these poor black people. Look at all these poor
Mexicans. Well, right, again and again, these poor children. These poor children. It's for the children. It's our women are very susceptible to those arguments.
Right.
Now in Isaiah 33, which we started last week, immediately after the oracle against liberalism, which is what I consider Isaiah 32 to be,
right,
we have an oracle against the spoilers,
mm-hmm.
but also an admonition that Yahweh alone is our salvation.
Right.
Now the focus turns back to the desolation that would be left behind in Palestine. But Isaiah is not a collection of snippets. And that was my point
mm-hmm.
with this, is to demonstrate that all of this book of Isaiah is one interconnected flowing narrative.
Right.
From which, if we had learned, we probably would not keep repeating the same mistakes of history.
Right.
Where through
right.
our own empathy,
mm-hmm.
we consistently admit and accept the enemies of our God, who
right.
then subvert our culture and precipitate our demise.
That's right. That's right. It's happened time and time again in our history.
Well, that is how Isaiah chapter 33 opens, for they deal treacherously with us.
Mm-hmm.
Although we have not done them wrong.
Right.
And this has been
we
going
haven't.
On for a couple of hundred years. History
yeah.
is repeating itself. These things in Isaiah are applicable today
right.
because we repeated the same enemies our ancient ancestors did in Palestine
yeah.
2,700 years ago.
Well, modern liberalism, as preached by the Jew, blames the white race for all of the troubles of the other races. And the other races have swallowed that lie. Have totally forgotten the fact that before the white man arrived on the scene, they had no technology, they had a backward civilization, they had no televisions, they had no cars, et cetera, and you know, it's somehow they think that when the white man disappears, that everything will still stay as it is now. No, it won't.
No, it won't. It'll revert right back to the
exactly.
large jungle.
Cannibalism.
And the destruction that is Africa,
that's
and the
right.
destruction that is the jungles of South America.
That's
or,
right,
or,
and
or
Southeast
the,
Asia, exactly, Vietnam and China, because none of those nations had ever had what we would call a constitutional republic, and those societies were always controlled by dictators, petty dictators, tribal chieftains, who were always at war with one another, just like the American Indians were. Okay, so it's untrue that the white man has somehow spoiled the noble savage, right?
Well, that's absolute Jewish. That is Jewish propaganda.
It is.
There is no noble savage.
That's right. There is no such thing. These people killed each other, ate each other,
all the time.
That's right. You know, and while they were doing that, they never were able to build a single road, except maybe in China.
their numbers would be minuscule
right.
if it were not for our bringing peace to them by the sword, forcing them into a
mm-hmm.
a mode of life that our our Catholic, it's not really our Catholic Church, but it is a result of Adamic culture,
right.
has forced on these people. And the only reason why they exist in the tremendous numbers that they do today is because of our civilization being imposed on them, of our medicine benefiting them,
right.
of our ability to produce food
mm-hmm.
being given to benefit them. There would never be a billion Chinamen
right.
if it weren't for Western technology and engineering.
Right. And even after the whites of South Africa have handed all of these things over to the blacks, they cannot maintain them. They refuse to farm. Their people are too corrupt to keep a government going. They can't even keep a city government going. The police force is totally corrupt. Crime is in monumental proportions. All of the government officials are corrupt and on the take. And it's a total breakdown in society across the board. Not one institution that the white race has left them is being maintained. It will simply not exist.
No, of course not.
Yeah.
If 20 years after the last white man dies on this planet, it's a done deal.
Yeah.
There is nothing here
yeah,
except rot.
And the fallen angel people will have gained a victory over us. But fortunately, Yahweh tells us he is not going to let that happen. He always preserves the remnant, and that remnant is our people, the Israelite Adamic white race.
And the bottom line for all of this predicament that we're in today is because Christians embrace the enemies of God. All they have to do is believe their New Testament.
Well, they're trying to convert the devil.
If you, I'd like to read 2 John 9-11.
Yeah.
And all you have to do is read this. And each who going forth and not abiding in the teaching of Christ has not God.
Yes.
He abiding in the teaching, he also has the Father and the Son. If one comes to you, now this is important. If one comes to you and does not bear this teaching, do not receive him into the house or the nation, and do not speak to welcome him.
Right.
For he speaking to welcome him takes a share in his evil works.
That's right.
All of those Christians that embrace the Jews are just as responsible for the disappearance of millions of babies every year.
That's right.
The disappearance of hundreds of thousands of white women taken to Palestine to work as slaves in brothels. And all the other vile things the rabbis and the Jews have done as a race, Christians are just as responsible for it because they have embraced the Jews.
That's for sure. That's for sure. And, you know, even though even Paul says, as it's translated in the King James, you know, be not unequally yoked with unbelievers. So don't they include the Jews as unbelievers?
Well, right. I can't believe that. I can't believe that. They're not believers.
That's
they don't
right.
bear the teaching of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, don't even welcome them.
That's right.
I mean, you don't have to pursue them. You don't have to persecute. Just don't deal with them.
Right. And getting back to the British Israelites who are constantly trying to embrace the Jews as Judah, what Jew in the world has ever wanted to insinuate themselves and call themselves a British Israelite? They didn't want their company.
Yeah,
why are you trying to ingratiate with people who don't even want to be near you, who don't want to associate with you?
Maybe Yair Davidi. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, right. Maybe one guy.
and he only does it to
sell books.
To sell books and to keep them deceived.
That's right.
And they swallow it down. It's crazy.
Right, right. Yeah, and it's quite amazing. There's no such thing besides Yair Davidi of any Jew who really wants to embrace British Israel. So why are you trying to convert people who care nothing for what you're saying, for what you're teaching, for what you believe? They care nothing for Anglo-Saxondom, British Israel, absolutely nothing. And even if you convince them, they still won't care because Jesus Christ tells us, do not cast pearls before swine, lest they turn again and rend you, which the South African Christians, white Christians, are feeling right now. The dog has turned against them and is tearing them to pieces.
Well, absolutely.
Yes.
That's a perfect illustration of those, of the power of those verses in the words of Christ.
Right, right. And so Judeo-Christianity is the bane of true Israel. It's the bane of the white race. It must be absolutely abolished. Any white person who embraces Judeo-Christianity is a traitor to the scriptures, a traitor. And the same thing goes for liberals who are primarily secular. That the liberals are left-wing, dumb white people, and the Judeo-Christians are right-wing, dumb white
liberals,
people.
They're so generous, they want to give away everybody else's money.
That's right.
Anybody that's a liberal or a socialist should be living in a cardboard box on the streets of Manhattan.
Yeah, yeah.
And the rich Jews will walk by and just kick them.
That's right. The Jews won't donate any money, but the liberals do.
Well, they will for tax purposes.
Right. Yeah.
If they
They'll raise our taxes.
Yeah, you know, they have that scam. We'll buy your $300 clunker and give you a receipt for $3,000 so you can
write
it off.
Right. Yeah, yeah. And so we shouldn't have an income tax in the first place. Of course, the liberals support it, and the Judeo-Christians simply idly stand by, not caring.
People don't realize how much more oppressive an income tax is, even than the biblical tithe. You know, the warning. The biblical tithe stood, but there was a warning in Joshua that if you want a king, or in Samuel, that if you want a king, he's going to take a tenth of your increase.
He's going to tax you.
No, he's going to take a tenth of your increase.
Mm-hmm.
The biblical tithe was on the increase.
The increase, yes.
Now, there's a big difference between increase and income.
Right.
Because you could make $50,000 any given year and have, say, $5,000 less in the bank
right.
than when you started out. Yeah, you know, you could have more expenses, and that meant living expenses, too.
Right.
If you have no increase, you're not liable for any tax.
Right.
But with an income tax, that money's taxed practically every time it changes hands.
Right. Well,
and the same dollar can change hands as income 50 times a year.
Well, even here there's deception because the definition of income, according to the current tax code, which has not been changed since it was written, is income is profits made on investments.
Well, right, but they've
lied. It's not your salary.
Right,
okay?
That's the original definition, yes.
But they still tax your salary.
Right, and it's evil.
That's right. It's totally evil.
But that people don't realize. That's what my point is. People don't realize just how evil the income tax is.
Yeah, yeah. And I think one of the major points of Isaiah 32 and 33 is if we obey his laws, that we will not be so horribly affected by all of these evils. In fact, we will be saved from them. It's all contingent upon our obeying his law.
Well, right. We're overrun with we're going to see that here in Isaiah soon. We're overrun with aliens because we disobeyed the commandments of Yahweh.
Yes. Okay, now we left off at chapter 33, verse 13. Do you want to lead up to verse 14 with a couple of verses here? Or?
Well, that's up to you. I mean, I thought I gave a recap recap enough. But
yeah. Well, here, let me go back to verse 8, because it describes our situation today. Our infrastructure in America is collapsing. Had Obama simply taken those $2 trillion that he gave right to Goldman Sachs and all the international bankers, had he used that money to rebuild our infrastructure, the people who were losing their homes and losing their jobs could have been put back to work, and they could have saved all that, and the bankers would have still got their money from the working people, right? Verse 8, the highways lie waste, the wayfaring man ceases, he has broken the covenant, he has despised the cities, he regards no man. The earth mourns and languishes, Lebanon is ashamed and hewn down. Sharon is like a wilderness, and Bashan and Carmel shake off their fruits. Now, folks, we're watching the world economy collapse. People are putting all their faith in economists, bankers, and politicians, not in Yahweh. Verse 10, now will I rise, saith Yahweh, now will I be exalted, now will I lift up myself. You shall conceive chaff, you shall bring forth stubble.
Now let me interrupt. How does that happen, to conceive chaff?
Oh, right. Well, it's like whatever you're doing is worthless.
Well, no, because that word conceive is hara, and it means to become pregnant.
Okay.
It means to produce in childbirth.
Right. Okay.
And to conceive chaff is what happens when we mix with the other races.
When you race mix. Yes, very good, very good. Let's see, where was I?
Verse
11. I'll repeat that. You shall conceive chaff, you shall bring forth stubble. Your breath as fire shall devour you, and the people shall be as the burnings of lime, which burns your skin. As thorns cut up shall they be burned in the fire. Hear, you that are far off, what I have done, and you that are near, acknowledge my might. And of course, he's talking to us, Christian Israelites. We're supposed to hear these words, because if we do not obey his laws, this is what's going to happen to us. And if we're not seeing these things today, my eyes are closed, right? This is what's happening today, folks, because we are not obeying his laws. Verse 14, the sinners in Zion are afraid. Fearfulness has surprised the hypocrites. Who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with everlasting burnings? This is right out of the book of Revelation. Verse 15, he that walks righteously and speaks uprightly, he that despises the gain of oppressions, that shakes his hands from holding of bribes, that stops his ears from hearing of blood, and shuts his eyes from seeing evil, he shall...
Let me say that that's not to ignore evil.
Right.
That's as a reaction to evil.
Yes. Yes. Okay.
That I have to qualify that, because these mainstream churches teach that there really is no evil.
Right. He shall dwell on high. I mean, in other words, in verse 15, he that walks righteously and speaks uprightly and despises oppression, etc., etc. He, in verse 16, shall dwell on high. His place of defense shall be the munitions of rocks. Bread shall be given him. His waters shall be sure. So in the midst of all these oppressions, in the midst of all this chaos and economic depression, and folks, we're in a depression and we're not getting out of it, he will protect his people. Verse 17, your eyes shall see the king in his beauty. They shall behold the land that is very far off, America.
Now, right, is that far off in space, in time, or is it both? Right. I think it's both.
Yes, yeah. Well, from when this was written, it's what, 2,500 years in the future? And how many thousands of miles from Palestine to America, right?
Well, right.
Mm-hmm.
And even if it's Christian Europe, it's 1,000 years
still,
in the future. And
it's still
and
very far off, hundreds of miles. Yes, exactly. Very good. Verse 18, your heart shall meditate terror. What does think about? Where is the scribe? Where is the receiver? Where is he that counted the towers? You shall not see a fierce people, a people of a deeper speech than you can perceive, of a stammering tongue that you cannot understand.
Well, let's qualify that.
Okay.
You shall not see a fierce people. The obedient would not be overrun with aliens.
Mm-hmm.
A consequence of disobedience found, for example, at Deuteronomy 28:32-34.
Yes.
Thy sons and thy daughters shall be given unto another people,
mm-hmm.
Mexicans, and thine eyes shall look and fail with longing for them all the day long,
mm-hmm.
and there shall be no might in thine hand.
That's right.
Your daughter runs off with a Mexican or a Negro, there's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah.
The fruit of thy land and all thy labors shall a nation which thou knowest not eat up.
Mm-hmm.
And thou shalt be only oppressed and crushed always.
Yes. Yes.
So that thou shalt be mad for the sight of thine eyes which thou shalt see.
Mm-hmm.
And that describes us perfectly.
That's right.
It's an incredible, and that's one of the
right.
The curses of disobedience in Deuteronomy 28.
Yeah. Well, it's like I said earlier at the introduction to the show, that both these liberals and these Judeo-Christians simply do not comprehend that all of their failed policies aren't working. They're just not working, but yet they doggedly pursue them anyway. You know, it's like, You don't perceive the evidence of your own eyes that these things aren't working? Do you have to be hacked to pieces yourself before you will give up your false beliefs? Apparently so. Apparently so. Some people will not believe until they get stabbed in the back. Verse 25. Look upon Zion, the city of our solemnities. Your eyes shall see Jerusalem, a quiet habitation, a tabernacle that shall not be taken down. Not one of the stakes thereof shall ever be removed, neither shall any of the cords thereof be broken off. Again, here this is a figurative use of Jerusalem being our people and our government, the government in the hands of Yahshua Messiah. Verse 21, but there the glorious Yahweh will be to us a place of broad rivers and streams, wherein shall go no galley with oars, neither shall gallant ship pass thereby. For Yahweh is our judge. Yahweh is our lawgiver. Yahweh is our king. He will save us.
Right, right. We can't save ourselves, and neither can the neocons.
That's right.
Well, let me say that, you know, verse 20, the Zion
mm-hmm.
that's being spoken of, that Jerusalem, that thine eyes shall see Jerusalem, a quiet habitation.
Mm-hmm.
That Jerusalem cannot be in Palestine because
right.
it has to be a land far off,
mm-hmm.
spoken above in verse 17.
Right, right. Very good.
Now, the verse 21, the broad streams and rivers wherein shall go no galley with oars. A galley was a ship they used to collect taxes and merchandise.
Okay.
That that could never describe Palestine.
Mm-hmm.
It had a few seasonal streams, and it's one river emptied into an entirely useless sea.
Right.
So useless it was called dead.
Right.
Yeah, you know, this can't describe Palestine.
Right, right. Yeah, and of course it fits with, what, 2 Samuel 7?
7:10, exactly.
7:10.
That my people will be moved to a place where they shall be moved from no more.
Yes.
And that place can't be Palestine.
Right, because as it was spoken in the days of David, which already was in Palestine, so it has to be somewhere else. All right. Okay, very good. Verse 23, your tacklings are loosed. They could not well strengthen their mast. They could not spread the sail. Then is the prey of a great spoil divided. The lame take the prey. And the inhabitants shall not say, I am sick. The people that dwell therein shall be forgiven for their iniquity. And obviously this must also be the end times prophecy, because the fact is, even though our people were forgiven for their trespasses at the first advent, that did not alleviate our suffering. That did not alleviate our tribulation. Only at the second coming is all of this tribulation finally put to an end.
Okay? Well, right. You know, the children of Israel promised 2,520 years of punishment.
Right.
And Christ came about 700 years into that punishment.
That's right.
There was still a long way to go.
That's right.
And now we're out of that period. However, there's a lot of other prophecy in play.
Right, right. And we definitely have to consider all these other prophecies. Okay, Isaiah chapter 34. Come near, you nations, to hear, and hearken, you people. Let the earth hear, and all that is therein, the world and all things that come forth of it. For the indignation of Yahweh is upon all nations, and his fury upon all their armies. He has utterly destroyed them. He has delivered them to the slaughter. So this is all past empires, current empires in the days of Isaiah, and future empires that deem to reject his will, they will be destroyed. There's simply no doubt about this, folks. Verse 3, their slain also shall be cast out, and their stink shall come up out of their carcasses, and the mountains shall be melted with their blood. This is judgment, folks. This is not lovey-dovey, let's all love one another, Judeo-Christianity. Verse 4, and all the host of heaven shall be dissolved, and the heavens shall be rolled together as a scroll, as in Peter and Revelation also tell us, and all their hosts shall fall down, as the leaf falls off from the vine, as a falling fig from the fig tree. Aren't we talking here about, number one, all the fallen angels, but all of those evil beings that still exist in the spiritual world, that they will also fall?
Well, I mean, there's several ways to look at this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, and the host of heaven usually... It very often refers to, you know, when the children of Israel worship the hosts of heaven,
and
they're worshiping the fallen angels. And that's these gods and goddesses of the ancient pagan world actually represent.
Yes, yes, yeah. And so, and of course, what we're seeing today with the New Age movement and Buddhism and Hinduism.
Well, right. It's a return to Jew worship, basically.
Right, right. Everything but Christianity. Everything but Christianity, real Christianity. Verse 5, for my sword shall be bathed in heaven. Behold, it shall come down upon, listen, folks, Idumea. What's Idumea? That's the Jews,
folks. Well, you know,
folks. Out
of all the world's nations, because this is addressing all the nations, the people of Yahweh's curse are still the Edomites.
Right, and they're singled out.
Out of all the world's nations, the
right.
Edomites are singled out here for destruction.
Yes.
Who and where are the Edomites?
Right. Well, the Jews tell us that they were exterminated a long time ago.
Well, the Jews want us to believe that the Edomites disappeared.
Right.
They did. They became Jews.
That's right. They just changed their name.
That's the only way
right.
they disappeared. And that's entirely proven in history,
exactly.
And from the Old and New Testament.
Yeah. Well, the Jewish writers, even their encyclopedias, admit that they're Edomites.
Well, I mean, it's right on Wikipedia. Look up Herod Archelaus on Wikipedia.
Yeah.
He was the tetrarch of Judea, Samaria, Judea, Jerusalem, Samaria, and Edomia.
The chapter and verse is Isaiah 34, verse 5. Let me read it again. For my sword shall be bathed in heaven. Behold, it shall come down upon Idumea, and upon the people of my curse to judgment. Who are the people of his curse? The Edomites, the Canaanites, the Kenites, the offspring of the fallen angels, the scribes and Pharisees, and the Sadducees that mixed with them, who all became known as, in the days of Jesus Christ, Herodians and Edomites, and who call themselves today Jews.
Well, there's several times that Paul explains that the Edomites are the cursed people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, in 1 Corinthians 16:22, the real translation should be, he who does not love the Lord Yahshua,
mm-hmm.
he must be accursed, a rebel to be destroyed.
Right.
That's what Anathema Maranatha means.
Mm-hmm.
He must be accursed, a rebel to be destroyed.
Right.
That
doesn't
Paul,
mean I greet you with joy.
Yeah, right.
Right.
And Paul also explains in Galatians 3:10 that all those who remained under the rituals of the law,
yeah.
they're accursed.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, and in Romans 9, they're the vessels of destruction.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul is in full coherence with Isaiah here. The
right.
wrath of Yahweh shall come down on the children of Edom
mm-hmm.
in the day of judgment, and they just happen to be the Jews.
That's
and
right.
And that can be proven historically.
Yes. Edom is in modern Jewry. That's the Jewish Encyclopedia. I forget which edition, but yes, the Jews do admit in their in-house writings that they are the descendants of Edom. They do admit it, but of course the average Judeo-Christian has absolutely no interest in finding out that they're not who they claim to be and prefer to send their money to the bastard state of Israel and keep on financing the demise of their own race and their own religion.
Well, it just happens to be these same people today who are a parasite and a drain and an oppression to every Christian nation.
Right.
So did Isaiah write this by chance?
Right. Well, Yahweh inspired him to write these
words.
There's simply no doubt. Yes. Yes. And
Judeo-Christians just want to keep embracing the Christ denier.
Right.
It's incredible.
Yes. And, you know, and in fact, I want to emphasize this because after Isaiah came, and Jeremiah has a lot to tell us about these evil Edomites, today known as Jews. But Ezekiel 36:5, which is, you know, my favorite verse in describing the Jews and what they will do to true Israel. Therefore, thus says Yahweh Elohim, surely in the fire of my jealousy have I spoken against the residue of the heathen and against all Idumea, which have appointed my land into their possession with the joy of all their heart, with spiteful minds to cast it out for a prey. Here, these Edomites are obviously being described as people who would usurp the power and authority of true Judah and start impersonating us and call themselves and our ancestors Jews as if they're the same people. And, of course, they are not.
And right, and that's what Ezekiel chapters 35 and 36 are all about.
Mm-hmm.
And Malachi, the prophecy of Malachi, the whole thing.
Yeah.
However,
yeah.
the Judeo-Christians
ignore.
Throw away the Old Testament.
Right.
They throw it out.
Yeah.
Oh, we're New Testament Christians.
Right.
Whatever
yeah.
that.
Well, then they have to ignore Paul's admonitions to watch out for these Edomites, okay?
Well, it's Talmudism for the masses.
Right.
It's a religion of hypocrisy.
That's right. That's right. And they refuse to accept the responsibility of being Israelites and bringing the kingdom into fruition here on this planet. They prefer to have a feel-good religion and bless one another and tell them how great they are and pat each other on the back and say, you're saved, we're saved, we're all saved.
It's the best Christianity that the Jew Jacob Schiff and the Jew Samuel Untermeyer could buy.
That's right.
And buy it they did.
And John Hagee is one of their main...
Well, he's their whore.
Yeah,
he's one of their main whores.
Yes. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you don't think the Bible criticizes and curses the Edomites, think again. Isaiah, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, yeah, and you mentioned some of the lesser prophets, shouldn't call them lesser prophets. They're referred to as the minor prophets in the end of the Old Testament. But they also...
Well, the shorter prophets, they should
right,
be.
Right, yeah, exactly.
The briefer prophets.
They all have choice words for the Jews.
Read on verse 6.
Oh, I left it already. I'm back
Isaiah on 34:6.
Oh, okay. Oh, I'm back in Isaiah. Yes, the verse 6. The sword of Yahweh is filled with blood. It is made fat with fatness and with the blood of lambs and goats, with the fat of the kidneys of rams.
Well, don't skip over that too quick. The blood of lambs and goats.
Yes.
Sheep and goats.
Mm-hmm.
The sheep that are caught hanging out with the goats at the end of days.
Yes.
They're in trouble, too.
Right. That's right. Well, that's what Matthew chapter 13 tells us. If the wheat, if the roots of the wheat are too entangled with that of the tares, they will be gathered and burned with the tares. So if we don't separate ourselves from these people, we will endure the same punishment that they do.
There's no doubt.
There's no doubt. They will be gathered and burned, folks. That's what we're talking about here as well. With the fat of the kidneys of rams, for Yahweh has a sacrifice in Bozrah and a great slaughter in the land of Idumea. Okay, now where is the land of Idumea?
Well, it's here, just like the land of
That's
Jerusalem
right. Well,
is here.
Well, it's also in the so-called Israeli
these
state.
These things are used as metaphors for the different worlds on the planet.
That's right.
And that's the way I see it.
Well, wherever the Jews are is the land of Idumea.
Well, right.
Exactly.
I'm right smack in the middle of it.
So you don't want to be caught in New York City on a judgment day.
No, I won't be downstate at all, believe me.
Right. Stay away from Binghamton, too. Okay. There's a few ARA, and most of those are Jews, too. Verse 7, and the unicorns shall come down with them, and the bullocks with the bulls, and their land shall be soaked with blood, and their dust made fat with fatness. Now, unicorns could be a reference to Joseph, because the symbol of the house of Joseph is the unicorn. And the bullocks, which one was the bull?
That's Judah. Ephraim. Ephraim.
Ephraim was
killed. And he's also often described as a unicorn.
Right. Okay. So we're talking about the Ephraimites here. Verse 8.
How many of them are partying with the devil?
That's right. That's right. That's right. Well, Ephraim is primarily America, Canada, and Britain. And we are definitely, you know, in these latter days, where are all our major banking houses? They're in our countries. Verse 8. For it is the day of Yahweh's vengeance and the year of recompenses for the controversy of Zion. That's where Douglas Reed got his title from. Isaiah 34:8. And the streams thereof shall be turned into pitch. Oh, wait a minute. That oil spill in the Gulf? That's being turned into pitch, folks. And the dust thereof into brimstone, and the land thereof shall become burning pitch. The whole Gulf may catch fire, folks. Verse 10. It shall not be quenched night nor day. The smoke thereof shall go up forever. From generation to generation it shall lie waste. None shall pass through it forever and ever. So we're talking about wherever the Jews are today, it's going to be emptiness.
That's very reminiscent of the language in Revelation 18 of the fall of Babylon.
Yes, Mr. Babylon, exactly. Okay, and then certainly there will never be another Jewish banking house after the judgment day.
And in conjunction with that, I like to read Obadiah 1:18, and the house of Jacob shall be a fire, and the house of Joseph a flame, and the house of Esau for stubble.
Yeah, for stubble.
And they shall kindle in them and devour them. And there shall not be any remaining of the house of Esau, for Yahweh has spoken it.
Right. And in Zechariah 14:21, there shall no Canaanites be left on the face of the earth. So, folks, the Bible predicts this thing. And if we want to avoid being judged along with them, we have to obey his laws. Verse 11. But the cormorant and the bittern shall possess it. What are these two things? The cormorant. I have a note here. It says a cormorant is a pelican. Must be a type of pelican.
Well, these birds.
Yes.
There's a lot of contention over the various translations.
Yeah. Okay.
Of these birds, and I don't think that any of them can be really known with absolute certainty.
Okay.
Some of them can, but most and from Arabic or Assyrian inscriptions.
Yes.
But a lot of these names are just lost to obscurity.
Yeah. But in other words, it's these are scavenger birds, okay, that would possess the land. We're not talking about literal birds here anyway. You know, we're talking about...
Well, right. Yeah. I believe that this all represents the birds of heaven. All right? And this is a longtime pet theory of mine, that the birds of heaven in the Bible, in prophecy, refers to the other races. That's because they are all, I believe, mixed with the fallen angels.
Okay.
So they would be the birds of heaven.
Okay.
And that's the way I look at that phrase.
Right, right. The heaven being the Elohim, Nephilim, sons of heaven, as it is in Genesis chapter.
Well,
10.
Right, and you know, an appropriate saying of Christ to point to is the parable of the mustard seed,
mm-hmm.
where it's the least of all seeds, and it grows to be a tremendous tree, which is
right.
impossible with mustard seed, right? But
right.
that's the idiom that he uses. The example he uses, the analogy, I should say.
Right.
It grows to be a tremendous tree, and the birds of heaven come and nest in its branches.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't see white people going into any other, you know,
right.
anybody
live
else's society. Maybe we took them over as colonies and used their land and their resources.
But we brought our society with us, yes.
Right. We brought our society to them. We didn't go there to be a part of their society.
Culture. Right. Only liberals. Only Judeo-Christians and liberals do that.
Well, right. And this is the first, probably in history, where other races have come in among a host race and basically in such huge numbers that it would cause the demise
right.
of that race, but have come in among a host race and attempted to actually adopt its culture.
Right.
Or its technology or its
right.
Its resources. And that's what's happened to us. And that's
right.
probably a first in the history of the planet.
Yeah, yeah, especially on a vast scale. All the Anglo-Saxon Caucasian nations are undergoing the exact same process.
By every other race.
Right.
It's just crazy.
Yeah, yeah. And we're doing it to ourselves because we're allowing our politicians to create immigration laws that destroy us.
Well, the bottom line is that we've allowed our politicians and we have ourselves
mm-hmm.
embraced the devil.
That's right. That's right. Because we're part of the devil's economic system and we won't give it up. Verse 12. They shall call the nobles thereof to the kingdom, but none shall be there, and all its princes shall be nothing.
Well, I'm sorry. There's one more thing I want to say about verse 11, and
okay.
that's in the Septuagint. That there's a word in the Septuagint
oh.
that appears in a list called satyrs.
Oh,
interesting. That word is not the regular word for satyr. It's only translated satyrs by the English translators.
Okay.
And the regular, there is a Greek word for satyr. Satyr is a Greek word.
Okay, yes.
Satoris. However, this word is not satoris. It's actually honocentaurus.
Okay.
And that's a tailless ape.
Okay, is that what they translated as bittern, B-I-T-T-E-R-N, in the King James?
No, there's no clear, because the list is a little longer in the Septuagint, there's
oh.
no clear parallel to it in the King James,
yeah,
but it says tailless apes in the Septuagint,
mm-hmm.
and in a few places in the Septuagint, in Isaiah especially, and we'll see it in a few verses, I think.
Right,
there is a corresponding. It's in verse 14. It says satyr in the King James, and in the Septuagint, it is also onocentaurus
right.
or tailless ape.
Right, it must mean Democrats.
Well,
right.
well, I think it probably describes a lot of those other races
right.
that we
right.
have among us today.
Right, yeah. And actually, I missed the latter half of verse 11 in the King James here. Let me just read the whole thing. But the cormorant and the bittern shall possess it, the owl also and the raven shall dwell in it. That's black people. The ravens are pitch black. And he shall stretch out upon it the line of confusion. And the stones of emptiness. Total confusion. Total confusion. Verse 12. They shall call the nobles thereof to the kingdom, but none shall be there, and all its princes shall be nothing. And of course, our white Anglo-Saxon politicians are as nothing compared to the high Jew bank. They're all nothing but Shabbaz goys, meaning the lapdogs of the international financiers. Verse 13.
Well, let me cite another verse that
okay.
that uses that word confusion.
Okay.
And that's Leviticus 18:23. And Clifton actually pointed this out in a recent paper.
Okay.
Neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith.
Mm-hmm.
Neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereto. It is confusion.
Mm-hmm.
And that can't be talking about four-legged beasts.
Right. Right. Yes. Yes. Yeah, because, well, and also in Isaiah, I think earlier on, I believe it was Isaiah 8 or 5, where confusion of face is being talked about, okay? So how do you get confusion of face? well, mongrels.
Well, right, and that's the only way human beings can have intercourse and cause confusion.
That's right.
Is to sleep with people of other races.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, if you slept with your dog and there was offspring from it, I'm sure it wouldn't look anything like a human.
Well,
it wouldn't really cause confusion.
Right. Well, in one of my newsletters, I circulated a picture. And you know, if you have intercourse with a dog, the resulting animal can't live. Okay, it's it might live for a few days, but it doesn't. You know, when it's mixed that badly between the canine species and the human species, there's no way it can live. Okay?
Well, that's right.
Yeah.
But confusion is caused when we mingle
right.
with the two-legged
yeah.
beasts and have children.
Yeah. Exactly. And that kind of confusion will destroy our society.
And that has to be the confusion the Bible's talking about.
Exactly.
In Isaiah here and back there in Leviticus 18.
Absolutely. Verse 12, they shall call the nobles thereof to the kingdom, but none shall be there, and all its princes shall be nothing. It sounds like this verse is saying, well, our leaders will all be corrupted, and we can't rely on them. That's certainly true. Verse 13, and thorns shall come up in its palaces, nettles and brambles in the fortresses thereof.
Well, that's what we have in the White House and all our fortresses now.
That's right. And it shall, and the Supreme Lesbian Court, right?
Oh, I have a picture of this this new appointee, this Kagan.
Yeah, right.
And she's got a big fat cigar in her mouth. It looks like she has a baseball bat.
She looks like Edward G. Robinson, right?
It's absolutely repulsive.
Right. So we have a so-called Supreme Court. Now we have more and more Jews. It's primarily Jews and Catholics.
I would say it's just about all Jews.
Yeah.
I mean, Samuel Alito, he's questionable.
Okay.
And there's David Souter, he's questionable.
Okay.
And then there's Breyer and Ginsburg.
Yes.
And Clarence Thomas, I'm sure he has Jewish blood in him.
Okay. Well,
every American Negro.
He's certainly not Anglo-Saxon.
Well, I would put the odds at about 1,000 to 1 that any American Negro does not have Jewish blood.
Right, yes. And so, you know, in fact, Clarence Thomas may be the only conservative on the court. The rest are all liberal Jews. No, absolutely no doubt. Okay, so appointing now Kagan, and that's the ancient surname for the Khazars. Kagan is a Ashkenazi surname.
Well, right. She's a straight kike.
That's right. And the etymology of that word, Kagan, goes straight back to Cain.
And she is a Bolshevik.
There's no doubt
about that either.
She's a Bolshevik. She hates free speech. She's written at least a dozen papers in which she claims that the free speech of those who disagree with her point of view should be limited. That's exactly what she says. She's a blatant Marxist.
You know what really amazes me? There's not a Negro uproar in this country.
Yeah.
Because this is Obama's second Supreme Court appointee.
Well, he can't do anything wrong, Bill. He's black, right?
It's incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, a Negro should be in absolute uproar that he has not appointed a Negro.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
There should be demonstrations in the streets.
Well, no, they're happy that he hasn't appointed a white man. And even more happy that he hasn't appointed a dead white man.
Well, it just shows you how the Negro is manipulated.
That's right, of course.
Because all it takes is one Al Sharpton to set 10 million of them off.
That's right.
But
that's
none right. of them are – I haven't heard one objection to this.
No. We are in deep doo-doo, especially those of our people who are supporting this garbage. And I do mean garbage on the Supreme Court.
Well, this Kagan is a repulsive beast.
Yes,
that's the only words I have for.
Yes, she is. We get what we deserve. I mean, as Isaiah has told us that many times, that
absolutely.
We get what
There's
we deserve.
No doubt, but do we really deserve it this bad?
Yeah, right. It's not over yet.
I can't take it anymore.
Yeah, it's not over yet. Yeah, when will this end? Please make it end soon. I can't take it anymore. I second that emotion. Right. Okay, verse 13. Oh, yeah. Oh, let's read the whole thing. Because I like this. Starting from the top of verse 13, and thorns shall come up in its palaces, nettles and brambles in the fortresses thereof. And what we have, you know, even in our military, We have a multiracial. In fact, our women have no business being in frontline military positions.
Well, of course not.
Yeah. Nurses, administrators of, secretaries, et cetera, certain special areas, but certainly not in the front lines. That's absurd. Israel never had women warriors, only as a last resort, okay? And that's the way it should be. And our country has always believed in that until the Jews started taking over. And it shall be a habitation of dragons, serpents, Jews, and a court for owls. Owls, what are owls? Well, they're nighttime creatures. They peer at us.
In ancient pagan superstition and worship, owls are very prominent.
Yeah.
Was the symbol of Ishtar and the symbol of Athena in Greece.
Yeah, and then what's that group in, is it in California that worships the owl? They get together once a year and they actually perform human sacrifices, according.
Well, right, and that's actually, that's that Grove, Bohemian Grove.
Bohemian Grove,
That goes back to Athena and Ishtar.
Yes, and Fausto says Kagan means king in the Khazar. Yeah, the Kagan of the Khazar people was.
Yeah, I thought it meant king or chieftain or something
that. Yeah, but that word Kagan actually derives from the word Cain, Kayan, K-A-Y-A-N, in the ancient pronunciation. Yeah, so there's numerous Jews have names that are based on Cain. Numerous. Very, very many Jews have.
I met Jews with the name Cain.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Last name Cain.
Right. Exactly. Okay, verse 14. The wild beasts of the desert shall also meet with the wild beasts of the island.
That's all over America today.
Right. That's right. Well,
the tailless ape shall cry to his fellow.
Right.
That's the satyr.
Right. There you go. And the satyr shall cry to its fellow. The screech owl also shall rest there and find for herself a place of rest. Yeah, we have America and all of the white nations of the world have become havens for the other races, and all they do is take advantage of our people and do absolutely nothing.
Well, this is what you have wherever you find Edom. I mean, that's still the same here.
Right, right. The Edomites have manipulated all these other races. They're the ones who created the immigration law to challenge us and invite the rest of them in, in other words, to limit white immigration into America, but increase non-white immigration. And Arizona.
Well, it's not a mistake. It's not a coincidence that the pattern of immigration in this country, we have the most aliens where we have the most Jews.
That's right. That's right. And Florida, Arizona, objecting to this pattern, is being demonized by the Jew press.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There shall the great owl make its nest. There you go, Ishtar, right? Babylon.
Make her nest.
Yes, her nest. Yes. Great Babylon has made her nest among our people, and our people love to have it so. There shall the great owl make its nest and lay and hatch and gather under its shadow. There shall the vultures also be gathered, every one with its mate. There's Obama. And what's his wife's name? I forget what his wife's name is. But
Rahm Emanuel.
Yeah, right. They make a great couple. Verse 16. Seek you out of the book of Yahweh and read. No one of these shall fail. None shall want its mate, for my mouth it has commanded, and his spirit, it has gathered them. So these things are happening, folks. They're happening before our very eyes. When Yahweh prophesies something, it happens. But you have to be able to understand what these prophecies mean. Verse 17. And he has cast the lot for them, and his hand has divided it to them by line. They shall possess it forever, from generation to generation. Shall they dwell therein? Now, of course, these last two verses, again, we're finding that the prose switches from current or contemporary times to future times, and usually the future is the judgment day, and it switches back and forth from talking about the Israelites and their ultimate salvation and all of the various trials and tribulations that we will have to endure because of our disobedience. So these last two verses, 16 and 17, he's telling us to seek out of the book of Yahweh and read. Now,
well, right. And you know, that's part of the, and a lot of people miss this.
Mm-hmm.
Just the fact that the book knew it was going to be around is proof that God is true.
Yes.
Because the book knew it was going to be around.
Sure.
I mean, who writes a book and just knows that 2,000 years, 3,000 years later, that book is still going to be around?
No, but it's a total indictment to the so-called New Testament Christians who refuse to read this book.
Well, absolutely. And there's also proof in this chapter, 34, Isaiah 34, that there is no mass conversion of Jews at the end of days.
That's right.
There is absolutely. The only conversion of Jews at the end of days is their conversion to ashes.
By death, exactly. And then there will be no phoenix rising from those ashes.
No, absolutely not.
Yes. All right, let's go into chapter 35. The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them. Again, speaking of us, not of the Jews. And the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it. And, of course, Lebanon would be lumberjacks and, you know, whatever husbandry and agriculture our people were performing there. The excellency of Carmel and Sharon, they shall see the glory of Yahweh and the excellency of our Elohim. Strengthen you the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart. Fearful. Well, probably in terms of fear of the Lord.
Well, yes.
Yes,
it could
not
be a reverend heart.
Right. Not speaking of terror or actual fear. We don't fear Yahweh in that sense.
And actually, the Hebrew word means to be anxious.
Okay.
It's to be anxious. And it's probably, you know, in this context.
Okay. So of anxious heart, be strong. Fear not. That's what we're trying to say.
Right.
Because if we obey his laws, we have nothing to fear. Behold, your God will come with vengeance.
And that's, you know, we're all anxious to see that day.
That's right. we're frustrated that it hasn't happened yet, right? With a recompense, payback, folks, he will come and save you.
And we have to always bear that in mind.
Yes. Yes.
That's extremely important
because
anything else is un-Christian.
Isn't it incredible that this book has survived all the trials and tribulations, all the horrible translations, and it can still be understood? Very good. Thank you, Yahweh. Thank you, Yahshua, for understanding. Yeah, and of course, Daniel tells us that the wise shall lose their wisdom, okay? That those experts and professionals, they will lose it. But his remnant will never lose it. Verse 5.
Well, I'll tell you, all those papers, all those degrees are written on. I wouldn't line my birdcage with them.
Right.
I don't have a birdcage.
Yeah, right.
I wouldn't put them down for my puppy to pee on.
Well, Obama and all the liberals have put the Constitution through the shredder. You know, that proves how little they care for that. And you know, they don't care for the Bible either.
Well, I mean, all the learning of all the universities.
Yes.
It's useless.
It is. It is because.
I mean, there's some good things to be learned in college if you're an engineer.
Yeah.
If you're a chemical engineer or an electrical engineer, if you're learning an actual hard science.
Mm-hmm.
But everything else is absolutely useless.
Yes. Yeah. Well, because if it doesn't line up with Yahweh's will, then it is. Absolutely. Verse 5. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, not enough eyes, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped, not enough ears, not at least at this point, verse 6. Then shall the lame man leap as a hart or a deer or buck, and the tongue of the dumb sing, for in the wilderness shall waters break out and streams in the desert. Now, we can also say that this was an intermediate fulfillment when, of course, the Anglo-Saxon Caucasian Israelites migrated into Europe and built civilizations, you know, migrated across the Atlantic Ocean and, you know, down to South Africa, Australia, etc.
Well, right. You know, I believe that this chapter has to describe Europe.
Okay.
Because before the Cimmerian, Scythian settlement of Central Europe, It was, for the most part, a desert place.
It was a wilderness, yes.
And there are no indigenous ravenous beasts there.
Right, right.
So, okay, there's the brown bear. It is in Europe in some numbers, and the wild boar. But there's no lions or tigers
right.
or real hunting beasts of prey.
Right. Well, all of the, you know, there's plenty of evidence that before the Ice Age, there were tropical-style animals.
Well, right, but I'm talking about 700
right.
B.C.
Right, right. Yeah, and so, I mean, there's evidence that they were there once upon a time, but they never returned there. And you're right, you know, there were deer and elk and maybe some bear and wild boar and some of those types of creatures. But it was a wilderness after the Ice Age. And civilization did not return there. People did not return there until the Israelites went there. That's plain and simple, folks. It was a wilderness. Okay. And verse 7, and the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. And, of course, what's the word? Irrigation. Okay. Our people brought irrigation and turned dry land into habitable land and productive land. In the habitation of dragons, where each lay shall be grass with reeds and rushes. It's our people that did this, folks. The Jews never did anything like this. They never turned the wilderness into a paradise. Verse 8, and a highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein. What's this verse? Though fools, the wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein. That's kind of an odd constructed sentence there.
Well,
even
yes,
though fools,
the,
they
the
will not err.
The wayfaring men are the, I would say that they were the merchants, that even they wouldn't be able to screw up.
Oh, okay.
But the dispersed shall walk on it, and they shall not go astray, is the Septuagint.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Neither shall there be.
Okay. So that makes more sense. The dispersed, meaning Israelites.
Well, let's see the NAS.
Okay.
And it will be called the Highway of Holiness. The unclean will not travel on it,
mm-hmm.
but it will be for him who walks the way, or that way they have. But
okay.
I would say the way. And that the that article is added. And fools will not wander.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So that's a lot different than the
yeah. Okay.
Than the King James, which drops the ball often.
Yeah, right. Yeah, this is a very oddly constructed sentence. Okay, verse 9. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. Now, of course, we can talk about the literal dispersion of the true Israelites through Europe and our creation of civilization. And indeed, Christian civilization is the greatest development ever on this planet. There's
absolutely
simply no doubt about that. Okay, but this also, I think, prefigures the ultimate, you know, restoration of our people.
Well, right. The first restoration was the 1,000 years in Europe that we flourished when the Jew was excoriated from society.
Right, excluded. Yes,
and that's only a that first restoration is only a sample of the things to come.
That's right. That's right. It's a prefigurement of the total restoration. Very good. Okay, one more verse. Verse 10. And the ransomed of Yahweh shall return and come to Zion, Zion being the government, with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Okay, so this is predicting, and this is not going to be created by the Judeo-Christians, folks. They're doing everything they possibly can to prevent the kingdom from coming. They think they're establishing, you know, they think they're going to heaven, but they got another guest coming. Okay? The foolish virgins would not be let into the wedding feast, even though they were Israelites. Okay? So, let's conclude here. This book of Isaiah is full of meaning for us Israelites. Obviously, the Judeo-Christians care little about it. Couldn't care less. Doesn't mean anything to them. But it's written for us, the true Israelites, the Christian identists, and those British Israelites who will open their eyes and realize that the Jews are their worst enemy, not their friends. So stop trying to convert the devil, our friends over there in Britain. Stop trying to do that.
Isaiah is a clear message, and there are many other clear messages in Christmas, in the scripture, that it's never going to be done. The only conversion of the Edomites is their conversion to ashes at the end of the age.
Yes, that's right. Very good.
And Yahweh himself will do that.
Yes. Okay, so before we conclude, a couple of quick announcements. I won't be around for tomorrow night's show. Clifton is going to be joining Bill. What's the theme going to be tomorrow, did you say?
I think we're going to talk about his work on the Beast of the Field.
Beast of the Field, okay.
Yes.
And then on Sunday, I may have two shows. I'm going to have the regular show at 11, and I'm probably going to do that on the economic situation we have in the world today, the imminent collapse of the global economy and the devaluation of the Federal Reserve note, okay? And then if it works out, I'm going to interview Barbara Ann, a fine Polish girl from Chicago who moved to Las Vegas to be an entertainer, and she's going to tell us about her, how she found out who the Jews are, that they're not what they claim to be. And if that is pulled off, that'll be at 6 Central, I think 7 Eastern time. And so that's the plan for the rest of the weekend. So, Bill, thanks for joining me.
I'd like to announce one more time, please, real quick. I would encourage people, if they want, go to christagenia.net and go to the Connect page and follow the instructions and download a small free program from the place that I link to there. And you'll be able to get in on this new server that I have set up. And it's going to be up. It's up. It's going to be up 24/7. And I hope to put out a mailing Wednesday and try to really get as many people as I could get to show up so I could really tax this thing to see exactly how it holds up.
Mm-hmm.
But with maybe 30, 40, 50 people, however many people I could encourage to show up on Wednesday.
Yes.
But in the meantime, anybody that wants to is invited to go to christagenia.net, go to the Connect page, follow the instructions, and join the server. And David and Pilgrim and a couple other people already have.
Yes, very good. Excellent. So, folks, this Christian identity message is not going away. We're going to keep preaching this until the judgment day, and we will watch the Edomites burn. Thanks for listening this evening. Yahweh bless everybody.
Praise Yahweh.